I'm back from Summer Games Done Quick, where we raised over $2.4 million for Doctors Without Borders. Plus, the SAG-AFTRA video game strike is now officially over. Tonight is July 13th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right, I'm back. Again. And I'm not taking next week off. Like, I'm actually going to be here 2 weeks in a row. It's going to be amazing. Hello, everybody. And welcome to, I'm a tired edition, I guess, of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here, thank you so much for remembering that I exist here. I know I haven't been here. I wasn't here last week. I wasn't here 3 weeks ago. Thank you so much. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. But this is a podcast, and we do have a Discord server where you can see what things are going on when I'm not here on Sundays. VogNetwork.com/Discord gets you into that Discord server. And as Chairman Matt says, Bobby's got to be tired. Yeah, I mean, about 24 hours ago, or actually less than 24, like, you know, 12 hours ago, I was getting on a flight back home. We'll talk about where I was this past week and what I was doing. And I've got a lot of stuff that I can show and talk about going back to something that I've been to before. Didn't get to do it recently, but now I am back. But where am I going to be next week? So next week, I am going to be at ATL Comic Convention, not Atlanta Comic Con for legally distinct reasons, you know, San Diego, whatever. But I'm going to be at the ATL Comic Convention for like a couple hours. And I am going to be hosting a panel with the performance actors, not voice actors, performance actors, Red Dead Redemption. So Roger Clark, who was Arthur Morgan, Nasir Dalal, who was Charles Smith, and Rob Wythoff, who is John Marston. I have worked with both Roger Clark and Rob Wythoff before at Dragon Con a couple years ago. I get to meet Nasir Dalal for the first time. In fact, he responded to me on Blue Sky when I posted about it, saying he was excited to meet me. So, I'm going to be there. That is on next Saturday at the Georgia World Congress Center in room C113. I'm going to be hosting a 50-minute Q&A session. I will be taking Q&A from the audience. I'm also going to be asking some questions of them. That's just how they work. So, this does kind of stem from some of the Dragon Con stuff that I'm with main programming. Since I'm local, I'm getting to do some of these other things to kind of hone my skills for the big Dragon Con push on Labor Day weekend. So that is where I'm going to be next Saturday here in Atlanta, at least for the early afternoon. My high school reunion is that weekend. So that only comes once every 10 years. So I was like, I can do that. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to bolt and, you know, I'm going to like go to my high school reunion. I'm like, you don't know. I just hung out with some actors today. They're not going to care. They might care a little bit. Esther Matt says left at 8 a.m. after SGQ ended late last night. Yeah, no, my flight was at noon. So I landed at noon central. It ended late. But yes, I was at Summer Games Done Quick 2025. I was one of the hosts, one of the donation readers. This is my 10th event. Would have been my 11th, but I did not make it in. I did not make the cut for Awesome Games Done Quick back in January in Pittsburgh. This was my 10th event. I did 9 in a row, then was not part of the cast, and then I was cast in again this time around. It was. It's getting a little normal now. Kind of going there. It's grown a little bit, and I'm going to show. I don't have as much video to show because I have like actually come back and shown like 10 to 15 minutes of video, and I don't think I've got that much this time around. But it's trying to become more of a convention. That is the interesting thing. They've added some things that make it more of a convention that you want to spend money at. And we'll get into that in a second. But so obviously the stream room, they actually, one of the things that I don't have anything backstage. I did not even take my camera backstage. I couldn't do anything. There's a lot of proprietary information. I'm not going to talk about that. But we had a lot more room because they set up the stage further away from the wall. So it was kind of nice. This allowed them to do some more things. They actually had three interview sets, one of which was a green screen. And then they obviously have the two stages. So basically, while one run is going, they're setting up the next run on the stage right next to it. And they just swap between the two stages. So that's you don't get to see that on stream a lot because the cameras are actually facing the audience. So, but when you're there, you actually see that like some runs are on different sides. So they got some new light setups, some, you know, colored lights. And I don't know if those were here in January. I wasn't there, so I don't know what all the tech was there. But like I said, it allowed them to do more unique things with the broadcast instead of just doing speedruns. And I think you saw that throughout the week that they were doing like a game show on stage. And they apparently the wrestling thing. I did not actually see the wrestling thing. I wasn't in the room for it. I was actually having a conversation with someone, really good conversation. But apparently, like, there were multiple cameras and stuff. But one of the things that was allowed them to do, so I do actually have footage here of Kung Fu Fruit Cup playing Beat Saber using the mod that allows you to put yourself, if you're in a green screen environment, into the game. And I can't remember what the actual mod for Beat Saber is that does this. And it also works with several other games. That you can actually insert yourself into the virtual environment. So, but they were able to do that because of the green screen. Also because of the two stages, I'm showing the Pump It Up showcase. So you can see that they just brought in an entire arcade cabinet into the stream room. And he was just playing Pump It Up right there on right in front of everybody. So it was really cool to watch. I didn't sit through the whole thing, all the rhythm game showcases are always amazing. Mike Def says the wrestling run was nothing short of amazing. It was AEW Fight Forever. And apparently, I guess there was actual like stuff happening on stage as well as in the game. Those things, they're available on Twitch. They're available on YouTube. So in terms of like the convention, the stuff you don't see, they have the board game room with like four Crokinole boards because Crokinole has just taken over everything. But you can check out a board game or bring your own. A lot of people brought what are called Commander Cubes, which I guess is a Magic the Gathering thing, and go in there and you can just play board games the whole time. They also have a room. This is called the Public Practice Room. So this is like your console game room or your PC game room at like other conventions, except everywhere you're looking, people are doing amazing things because these are all speedrunners and they're actually like showing off themselves, like doing tricks or they're trying to do routing and things like that. And so you walk around and you're like, that's something amazing. That's something amazing. That's something amazing. You know, or they're trying to do like randomizers and they're doing races and stuff. There's a whole room for this that's open 24 hours all week. And they had a different rhythm game there. They had Clone Hero there that day that people could play. Or there was like they were showing like Just Shapes and Beats and things like that. So it was always cool to kind of walk around and see what people were doing. Some LCDs, some CRT TVs, and just see what people were playing. There. You could also try your hand at the Pringles Sega Genesis game, which has been a GDQ meme for forever. I don't even understand it, but there's a whole bunch of cans of Pringles, and you can actually play the Pringles speedrun There's a Pringles game for Sega Genesis that's always there. Your curly mustache. Then there's the arcade. So there's a group called Psychic Drive. Brought in a bunch of arcade machines, so you had like a pump it up machine and stuff. But you also had F-Zero cabinet, Initial D cabinet, and a lot of candy cabs, so you could play your fighting games. Sit down fighting games were there. And this was open as well at all times, that you could go in and just play some arcade games. They had a lot of the rhythm games, because obviously, you know, they love the rhythm games. No Beat Mania 2DX, that was apparently at AGDQ, but they did have a Poppin' Music that actually was a recent version of Poppin' Music, because it had Undertale songs in it, because Undertale songs are in everything, and it's whatever Poppin' Music variant has the Undertale songs in it. They also had they had a couple pinball machines, several pinball machines that were online, so I was able to get my Stern Insider. Achievements. They actually had the new King Kong table, so I played that multiple times. They did not have the Final Fantasy Theatrhythm cabinet that has been here before, but they had the new Pulp Fiction machine that looks like an old machine. Dirty Harry, The Shadow, Sopranos. So it was a pretty good mix of pinball. So if you were into pinball, they even had a pinball tournament, which I did not enter because I am not that good at pinball, and there are some people there that are good at pinball. Simpsons Pinball Party was there. And they also even had some cabinets of some like indie games. Like they had the Enter the Gungan, it was an Enter the Gungan game that looked like a House of the Dead. Like, so it was the actual gun game that was like House of the Dead. And it was from that franchise. So an indie game, as well as, I think they had some I think there was some Tetris, the Grandmaster. There's some other Tetris variants. They could change out what the games were. And they also did bring in, if you've ever been to MAGFest, they brought the speedrun challenge from MAGFest. Because MAGFest was here, too. They had a jam room. So, you know, it wasn't open 24-7, depending on when people broke instruments or not. But there was a jam room because MAGFest was one of the sponsors. They were actually pushing MAGWest. And that's why there was a concert here as well. But what they added this year, this is new to this event, is an artist alley. And so they had two sets of artists come in. They had artists come in for the first 3 days of the event, and then they swapped them all out for another set of artists that came in the second half of the event. So you could actually buy art from these artists, and they also had a dev zone. So they had four indie developers, four at the beginning for the first couple days, and then four at the end. And so it was kind of cool to like actually see like that. That's more of a convention-like thing. And a lot of these artists were also benefiting their own personal charities. All their weren't all just Doctors Without Borders, but you know, you could buy art from them, and the proceeds went to a charity of their choice. So it was really cool to see that. And you know, then what I'm basically there the video. This is the second loop, or I think that was still the first loop, It was really cool to get to meet developers and artists that are like, I love GDQ, and now I can sell my art there. And people bought art. Like, there were people that I talked to that were like, there's a Crokinole game coming, a Crokinole video game called Crokinole Chaos. So they made a video game version, and it's going to be coming out. So if you want to play that. There were people that bought a piece of art from every artist, both sets. Like, people dropped thousands of dollars on art in the artist alley. So the artist apparently said this is an amazing, amazing experience. By the way, there's right at the very end of this video, there's the dude from the Megas checking his phone, because that was their merch table, and I didn't want to, be weird. And then there was an actual concert in a different room, and I've taken some video here. This was actually from my cell phone, but I didn't want to be like a jerk holding my phone up, because nobody was. And you would have seen it on stream because I was in the kind of the view of the camera. But they actually had a full-on concert on the Friday night. It was in a different room. It held 400 people. And it was the Megas, which is a band that that basically put lyrics to the songs of Mega Man 2, Mega Man 3, and stuff like that. So it was really interesting how they did that, and they even had the host send up donations and they were actual real donations that one of the band members would read because they were going for a bonus incentive to play some things from the Belmonts, which is not the Megas. It's just a band they really like from Romania, and they look exactly like the Megas. So Mike Deft asked, are we addressing the elephant in the room? So we can, because there was something that happened that I didn't see, but apparently everybody else did. And so on the stream in front of the Megas concert, they have a background video that they usually play at their concerts, I guess. I don't know. And this video has AI generated art. And it got aired on the GDQ stream, and GDQ is very anti-AI. It's one of their big stances, along with trans rights and, you know, things like that. And it got played, and just, it was, the backlash online apparently was huge. It was immense. They had no TV monitors in the room, so none of us saw it. I didn't even know about it until it was all over. However, the Megas actually did just come out with a statement, and they said that we have been, and I don't know, we'll see how this actually is, but they said, we have been made aware that some elements of the backing video we use for our concerts was put out over the GDQ stream, and it involved some AI generated versions of Dr. Wily and the Robot Masters. We firmly stand against AI taking work from real artists and apologize for the oversight, and did not intend for these images to go out over the stream. We'll be removing them from our concert backing video as well as from the YouTube archive of the stream. It was an honest mistake, and as all the members of the Megas are also artists by trade, we don't want AI taking our jobs either. And to GDQ's credit, GDQ also said, we deeply apologize for not vetting the images. So they're going to do further improve their vetting process in this regard to reiterate the hard stance against AI art. So it sounds like the Megas knew it was there. They just didn't intend for it to go out on the stream, but they did. I don't know. I guess because they're musicians, art is expensive, and you know, they're not, the Megas aren't a huge band, they're not making millions of dollars, and they may have hired an artist who used AI to make their art, because that is something that happens right now a lot, is that a lot of new people are like, hey, I'm an artist now, I wasn't before, but I am now because I can prompt, and that makes me an artist. Yeah, you use pen and pencil, I use a prompt. And there are actual artists that will say that, and they probably also are some of the lowest bidders for this stuff. So Mike Deft says they probably just Googled stuff and got those results. So it kind of sours a little bit of it. But so the concert was fun. I've known the Megas for like 20 years, and they got on stage, and I'm like, yeah, they're my age. They're so, and you could see on Reddit, or not on Reddit, but like on you know, Blue Sky, I think on Reddit as well. They're like, this is dad rock, because they're the age of the dads of who watches GDQ. I don't know how old they actually are. I'm not going to ask. So let's move on from that, and let's talk about what I actually hosted. So that's kind of what SGDQ was like if you're an attendee. They actually even had on-site registration, but I think it filled up anyway, so that didn't matter. But that's what it was like as a attendee. But what did I do? Let's talk about the good stuff. And the good stuff is that I was back on the host mic for several runs, and they gave me some really big runs. Now, I thought I was actually going to be able to basically be the person who announces that we hit $1 million. I will say, didn't happen because they hit $1 million during a prize segment. So the people actually on prizes popped off for the 1 million. That's what got shared on socials. It's their main content team that got to pop off. So if they had finished like 2 minutes earlier, I would have gotten the million. But I didn't get to announce the million. So I still have not yet been able to announce a milestone like that. It was so close, though. But the run win underestimate that we were going to be talking about, which is Super Metroid. So, yes, Rob Roberts' favorite game, Super Metroid, was there. And this is a low percent ice race. It's between Oats and Goats and Eddie, who have a very friendly rivalry. But they taunt each other, and it's good nature taunting. It's not the bad esports taunting. And Oats and Goats is number one on the leaderboard in this category. Eddie is number three on the leaderboard in this category. So you will watch at some points, and like they will be apart from each other, and then suddenly like get right back in sync. So like they would be apart, and then get right back in sync. And there was, I believe, the Mother Brain fight at the end was where, like, everything went, like, frame perfect in sync, except the RNG made one person, like, Eddie had manipulated the RNG to make Mother Brain go a little bit faster in her animation. So it was wild to watch this, because... And I'm thinking it is here. I'm also playing the video. So it's there. These are all on YouTube. And in fact, there's even a playlist that has all the stuff I say in between. So if you really wanted those, there's a bunch of unlisted videos. But it was basically the race ended with them 2 seconds apart. And Eddie won. The person in third place on the leaderboard actually won. And we did save the animals. We did not save the frames. Kill the Animals has not won in like 10 years at GDQ. It used to win all the time. Then apparently saving the animals was the play at that point. Yeah, so the end of the Mother Brain fight, which takes like 4 minutes to do, you notice that like they are just about exactly in sync, but it's based on some of the RNG that's done in the fight as to how many frames Mother Brain actually uses in this sense. So, Tireclaw says saving the animals is the right choice. I disagree, because I believe that the frames are real and the animals are pixelated. And this is a speed run, not a save run. We are speed gaming, not save gaming. So, it was... I appreciate everybody who donated towards killing the animals, but save the animals was like $4,000 a head. So... We just went with it. Yeah, and Dark Disease says, I don't think the handful of pixels is worth the extra effort. And it's happened at GDQ where they donated to save the animals, and the person was on world record pace. And saving the animals meant no world record, because you do not save the animals in a world record. But yeah, so it was, 2 seconds apart is what they were. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun to do. They were wonderful people. I sat in with them, watched them do a race. It was great. Then I had Doom the Dark Ages. Now, Doom, this is a, it is essentially, we're going to glitch. I love Blood Thunder. I've worked with Blood Thunder before. He's an amazing person. But they basically do this glitch where you can go into a mini-map and basically just teleport to wherever you put yourself in the mini-map. So you're like, yay, we started the level, and we just teleported to the end of the level, and we're going to go to the next one. So there's not that much ripping and tearing. It's more clip and tear as you're clipping through the thing. As Jernomat says, Bobby's litmus test donation read was great during that Metroid run. Yeah, and I think it's a shopping cart copypasta is what that is. I think that's it, and they just changed it in the Super Metroid run. They changed the shopping cart to saving the animals, but it's like this whole copypasta, and I did my speed read of it. I usually get to do one speed read donation an event, and that was when it was. So, but it passed donations, and I was like allowed to say it, so I did it. I didn't know at the time, because if you're ever on stage for something, your brain goes to mush a little bit, so things that you should know you don't, and that's why like. Really smart people freeze up on Jeopardy, for instance. So I didn't know at the time it was the shopping cart copypasta. Later on, I'm like, I think that's the shopping cart copypasta. But in the moment, I didn't know. And that just happens. So that was fun, doing Doom the Dark Ages and working with Blood Thunder again. I had worked with him before. That was the end of that shift. And there was also a boss rush going on in there. that we did hit. So I actually hit my incentives this time around. You're welcome. Then we did Super Mario Bros. 3, which this incentive got hit before I even sat down. It's the easiest incentive I've gotten. But this was all fortresses. And this was being run by Chikubi, not Zikubi, because I had, like, said, I don't know how to pronounce it. And I met him, and he's like, it's Ukrainian or Romanian, or it's Eastern European. So it's Chikubi. And this one, it was kind of interesting because he did some things that had never been done on a GDQ before, but also missed some tricks. So it was one of those where, like, he was overestimate by, like, a couple seconds, but he also, like, did some things that had never been done on GDQ before because it's just never happened. And I'll tell you the biggest one that was here that, and I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. The biggest thing that has never happened on the GDQ stage, and we did not pop off enough about it. It's the part in near the end in World 8. There are three hands that randomly come up, and you have to go through each hand. Never in GDQ has no hand shown up. That is the only time that in GDQ main stage history that no hand came up in the three parts of World 8 in Super Mario 3. So every time there's at least one that gets them and they have to go through a fight. But that first time, that's the first time you didn't have to do that. He also hit a very difficult clip called the Jesus clip. Everybody popped off for that. It was amazing. And they were great to work with. We raised a lot of money for charity because I did get to call 1.6 million. Mario people show up, I will say that. We also had a Celeste incentive open, and the Celeste community really shows up. So that was fun. You should check that out. And then the last game I did was actually a TAS. So it was Kirby Superstar Ultra, which is a TAS video. So Sample was showing us about it. And it was really just, it was playing through the game with every frame perfect input. It was, and Mike Duff says, yes, the TAS was fun to watch. So, and the thing is, you know, sometimes with these, you know, the GDQ memes happen, and there is a former host who hopefully she hosts again at some point. I don't know. Her name is Edo Bean. I've never, unfortunately, never actually met her. We've never been in the same place at the same time. But she has an amazing Poyo where she, you know, yells it out in a very cute way. And I cannot do that. But we got the donations for Poyo. So I did it, and the rest of the audience did it. And chat came through, and the donations came through, where they were like, there was a donation that literally just said, whispers, Poyo. Defiantly, Poyo. In a deep, manly voice, Poyo. So thank you very much for, if you were one of those that gave stage direction, so I could do Poyo in a way I could do it without, you know, trying to be another host, because nobody wants to do that. And I don't do voices. I don't really sing. And so I try to make those, you know, my own and get people to donate that way. Mike Deff says, I donated for this one. In hindsight, I should have made a Pollo Loco reference or something. Somebody did make a Pollo, P-O-L-L-O reference, because there were some, like, what's Kirby's favorite restaurants, Pollo, Trump, some other American-Mexican restaurant. And everybody groaned. It was great. So, that's what I did at Summer Games Done Quick. I hosted near the end. I had actually referenced this in the beginning, and I didn't actually reference it on the air. This is my first week of unemployment, was at SGDQ. It's fine. I have you money. I quit my company last week. I was going to be working during, which is why I wasn't really on during the day or anything like that. I thought I was going to be working. I was going to be, you know, on my laptop actually doing my day job while there. And that didn't happen because, you know, sometimes working for a startup, the great thing about a startup is that they can pivot on a dime. And the bad thing about working for a startup is that they can pivot so much, they no longer need you. And they wanted me, but I didn't want to do what they had pivoted to. So last Monday after my show, I was like, yeah, I'm going to give you 4 days notice. So I gave them notice, and we there was no reason to give them 2 weeks because there was not that much knowledge to transfer. But yeah, so I'm fun employed for the first time in decades. It's going to be weird. Like, not going to work tomorrow, not having anything. I do have interviews. I am actually interviewing. But, yeah, I might actually play some video games. Who knows? Anyway, that was Summer Games Done Quick, SGDQ 2025. It is up on YouTube, all that stuff. I actually have a playlist on my YouTube channel called Bobby Blackwolf Hosting Games Done Quick, and it has everything I've ever hosted. It's like 60 videos. And one of the things that they did this time around is they actually have separate videos for the time I'm vamping in between games, because Games Done Quick used to just make highlights, and Twitch said, no, you can only have 100 hours of highlights, which isn't even a full week. So they started uploading those to YouTube because they do actually want people, when they apply to be a host, not for a mainline GDQ, because there's a whole audition process, but they have other things where they're like, just send us a video of what you've done. And they want to hear you intro a game. But unfortunately, the YouTube videos of the runs start after your intro. It starts in the transition. So they've got those on there, and those are in my playlist as well. So you can actually hear what I said in between the runs as well. We've got an archive for that, so that's great. Let's talk about some of the news real quick and see what's happened in the past, couple weeks. SAG-AFTRA, I talked about the strike being suspended a couple weeks ago. The strike is now over. So there is a new contract with Activision Productions, Blindsight, Blind Light LLC, Disney Character Voices, Electronic Arts Productions, Formosa Interactive, Insomniac Games, Llama Productions, Take-Two Productions, and WB Games going into effect immediately. In national voting completed earlier this week, SAG-AFTRA members approved the 2025 SAG-AFTRA Interactive Media Agreement by a vote of 95% to 4%. It's really like 95.04 to 4.96. But anyway, 95 to 5. Ratifying the deal and concluding the video game strike, which had already been suspended pending ratification. The agreement provides compounded increases in performer compensation at a rate of 15.17% upon ratification, plus additional 3% increase in November 2025, November 2026, and November 2027. Additionally, the overtime rate maximum for overscale performers will now be based on double scale. The health and retirement contribution rate to the AFTRA retirement fund will now be raised from 16.5% to 17%, and then to 17.5% in October 2026. The new contract also accomplishes performer safety guardrails and gains around AI, including consent and disclosure requirements for AI digital replica use and the ability for performers to suspend content for the generation of new material during a strike. SAG-AFTRA President Fran Drescher, if you're of a certain age, you know who that is. It's the nanny. The nanny said, quote, I commend the strong leadership of Interactive Media Agreement Negotiating Chair Sarah Elamea, who remained steadfast through these 3 years of hard bargaining while facing many challenging headwinds during a challenging negotiation cycle. This deal achieves important progress around AI protections and progress in the name of the game. Progress is the name of the game. Excuse me, Fran. Excuse me, Nanny. I'm sorry. My sincere respect goes out to the entire video game performer community and their allies for their solidarity during the strike, which provided the necessary leverage to secure this deal's many essential gains, unquote. This press release basically patting everybody on their back. The video game industry even has spokesperson Audrey Cooling said, quote, we are pleased that SAG-AFTRA members have ratified a new interactive media agreement, which delivers historic wage increases, industry-leading AI protections, and enhanced health and safety measures for performers. We look forward to building on our industry's decade-long partnership with the union and continuing to create groundbreaking entertainment experiences for billions of players worldwide, unquote. And Tireclaw says, speaking of SAG-AFTRA, I just read that Sean Astin is running for president of SAG-AFTRA, because right now I believe Fran Drescher is right now, but you know, you don't want to have that forever. Like, that's not a lifetime appointment. At some point you want to go do something else with your life. So whenever the next election is, And I would say, based on, I've never, I can drop a lot of names. Sean Astin's not one of the ones I can drop. I'm sorry. But he was at Dragon Con during the actual big SAG-AFTRA strike when nobody could talk about their projects in terms of movie and television. And because Elijah Wood and Sean Astin would do panels together, and they're like, yes, it's Elijah Wood and Sean Astin. You can guess why they're connected, but they're not going to tell you. But Sean Astin had some very poignant words, and he expressed a lot about what was going on between SAG-AFTRA and the studios. And he was very knowledgeable and very passionate. And honestly, he would make a great president of SAG-AFTRA. I think Fran Drescher's probably been doing a great job too. But, you know, Fran Drescher may not want to do it anymore. And I think if Sean Astin wants to do it, he would be an amazing president of SAG-AFTRA. And whenever the next election is, he can run for it. And I think he would do an amazing job based on the little bit I've heard from at Dragon Con. So congrats to the performers. I will probably wind up asking this to the performance actors because take two, like they may not be working on anything right now. If they are, they're under NDA, but you know, what they think about it, because this also goes for the performance actors. This is not just for the voice actors. So the other thing that happened, this is kind of, and it's still a kind of developing story a little bit. Kotaku reports that Subnautica 2 is one of the most wishlisted games on Steam, and it's no longer coming out in 2025. According to a new report by Bloomberg, publisher Krafton has decided to delay the underwater survival sim until 2026, which would likely deny the developers making the game a $250 million payout. That's despite Unknown Worlds' recently ousted founders claiming Subnautica 2 is ready for early access. Bloomberg reports that Unknown Worlds would get the whopping payout if it hit certain revenue goals in 2025, which it's unlikely to do now that Krafton has delayed Subnautica 2's recently confirmed early access launch for later this year. That delay came against the wishes of studio co-founders Charlie Cleveland, Max McGuire, and CEO Ted Gill, all of whom the publisher fired last week and replaced Striking Distance Studios CEO Steve Papatissis. I don't even know how to pronounce that. I apologize. According to a live recording of an all-hands meeting reviewed by Bloomberg, the CEO was asked about the firings, delay, and the payout by other developers at the studio. Quote, "While yes, the software that everybody worked on is in a great spot and it felt like, hey, we could launch this, that wasn't what both parties aligned around," unquote. On the question of whether Krafton delayed the game to avoid paying the studio the bonuses, the response was, quote, "It's never been told to me that we were making this change specifically to impact any earnout or anything like that," unquote. The money would have reportedly been paid out to staff on the studio floor, including hundreds of thousands in bonuses for some on the roughly 100-person team. The firing of the studio leadership previously in charge of Subnautica 2 has already led to a revolt among some of the game's fans, which calls for players to take the game off of their Steam wishlist or boycott it at launch. I'm reminded of the Call of Duty boycott where they're like, oh, you're not going to give us our own, you know, our ability to have our own servers. We're going to boycott it. We're all going to join this group. And then when it came out, you go into that group and most people there are playing that Call of Duty. They did not actually boycott. Krafton's move, which Cleveland called a shock in a letter to fans on Reddit, now comes with a likely $250 million price tag attached to it for the studio, which is like taking an existing dumpster fire and dropping an oil tanker on it. Quote, "We know the game is ready for early access release and we know you're ready to play it," unquote. And this is Cleveland, who directed Subnautica 2. Quote, "And while we thought this was going to be our decision to make, at least for now, that decision is in Krafton's hands. And after all these years, to find that I'm no longer able to work at the company I started stings," unquote. So this is a case of, you know, we don't know, but we know, because Krafton hasn't actually commented. They haven't said, oh, we totally didn't do this. Krafton says, they say the game's ready. It's really not. We don't think it's ready for early access. Krafton's like, we need more content. We want more. We need 30% more content and all this stuff. And we're not going to make you crunch, so you're not going to get it out this year, which means now they don't have to pay out that $250 million to the studio because they're not going to hit revenue goals. Oh, yeah. If you hit your revenue goals, you get all this money, but we're not going to let you release until after the deadline has passed to hit those revenue goals. So it's a he said, she said thing. But I kind of believe the creators who were ousted from their own company and their own game. Kind of. That's me. We are going to take a quick break because I do realize that I need to drink some water and collect my thoughts a little bit. We will talk to OLR in just a little bit. We're going to take a quick Overclock Remix music break and then come right back with OLR. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Bobby Blackwell, I choose you.
That's me. I will never host a Pokemon game at GDQ, if you're ever wondering. I actually tell them I don't want to host a Pokemon game. And you're going to be like, why? Because I don't know the memes. There are only 150 Pokemon in my world, and that's not good for if you're doing that. Esther Matt says, or a Ni No Kuni run. I mean, look, I did Super Metroid, and you know, objectively, it is facts that Chrono Trigger is a better game than Super Metroid. Earthbound is a better game than Super Metroid. These are objective facts. I put that aside and hosted the Super Metroid runs. So, you know, I can do that, but I'm not going to do Pokemon because I don't think I'm the right person to host a Pokemon run. And everybody else agrees, so it's like a mutual thing. You know, I know what I'm capable of. So, yeah, so if you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be a Pokemon master. But some of you are, more so than me. All you got to do is contact me and send me an MP3 with just your voice. Or contact me, send me a video of just your voice and your face. I will choose the DMCA violation behind it. And Dark Sea says, at least I won't dispute Chrono Trigger. There was a meme right before. Final Fantasy IX was right before my Mario 3 block. And they were like, oh, what's your favorite Final Fantasy game? And like some people donated saying Chrono Trigger is my favorite Final Fantasy game. And so like during the break, I'm like, yeah, no, I was hearing that. My favorite Final Fantasy game is Yakuza Like a Dragon. And I actually got like so many cheers from the crowd. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. Ichiban would be so proud. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them to see what's going on and what else I've missed. Because, see, here's the thing. I'm kind of in a bubble, right? I'm kind of in a bubble when I'm at SGDQ. I don't see that much of the news. I sometimes I miss things. Sometimes things fall through the cracks, you know? So I like to check in with them to see what's going on. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. And the best Final Fantasy game is Lost Odyssey.
Okay, I'd accept that. I'd accept that one.
Yes.
Did you watch any of GDQ?
I did. I saw the Mario 3 stuff, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
You did good.
Yeah. And so did Chikubi. I mean, like, that was like, he had some things he missed, but then he was able to, like, kind of cover them up and stuff. And then there were some things that he hit were like, wow, okay, cool. You know? And I was like, oh, maybe I can learn this.
I like the little bonus.
Yeah, the bonus 80%.
Yeah, the 4 minute run at the end. Or I guess he went a little over, but like, man, one of those the hits you have to get in 7-1 to get that are extremely precise. So yeah. that was gonna be hard to pull off.
Yeah, no, and actually the world record's 3 minutes on that. Like, and he actually has he doesn't have world record, but he is like number 3 on the leaderboard. So his like world record is like 3 minutes and 1 second. And I was like, oh, you know, it's a quick run. You know, I'm gonna see, is it something no, it's not something I can learn. It's not Link to the Past, which is a very easy one glitch, and you beat it in 3.5 minutes. That's not a run you can learn. So,
yeah, it looks like it takes very precise timing, and there's probably quite a bit of luck that goes into that, quite frankly.
Yeah, because it's reprogramming the RAM. It's doing some of that arbitrary code execution, which is ACE is what they call it, ACE. So there's a little bit of that, which is why you need, like, the exact placement of the Koopa to be here, and then you go over here, and it gets, yeah, it's... Yeah, you had to look at the ROM code to figure all that out. So,
which I have no time to do. So I'm thankful for SGDQ for showing me those types of tricks.
Now, the Link to the Past speed run, that one's pretty easy. People can pick that up in one or two tries. I was able to pick it up, so that one's easy. It's a really easy skip. I actually even did it here on the podcast once. I actually did a live speed run here on the podcast, and I'd be like on like in 1,000th place on the leaderboard if I submitted it. I'm not going to submit it. So
I keep telling myself I'm going to learn to run Metroid faster because I did play that through in one stream relatively recently. And so I just, you know, once I get the muscle memory on the map, I can. I don't think I'll be up there with any world record, but I can. It'll be a fun party trick.
You're going to get up. You're going to get up to that up and down, up and down, up and down, doing that like, you know, the that's how they move faster. You get to learn that and ruin your
maybe
hands.
Maybe
I will
see.
Say
we'll
one
see.
Of
original
the
original Metroid. Not super.
Yeah. Okay. Super Metroid. I will say, and I don't think they mentioned this on the stream, but Eddie actually uses a, it looks like a fight stick, except it's not a stick. It's just all arcade buttons. That's what he was playing on.
Oh, interesting. I could see that.
So you couldn't see it on stream, but you could kind of hear his clicky clackies. Because, and that's how he can do a lot of this stuff. And Oats and Goats just uses a regular controller. But it was really interesting because they have one of the things that you don't see, obviously, on stream is because they're all running off of like EverDrives, right? And they actually have a practice ROM where you can actually set all the RNG and it'll even be like, it will just repeat the last 10 seconds. You do like, you start a fight and it's 10 seconds of it, and then it just warps right back. So you can repeat the same 10 seconds over and over and over again. And that's how they practice a lot of their stuff.
Interesting.
So you can get that ROM and you put it on your EverDrive and then you play that. And there's a menu, huge menu. That's like, here's, you can even like manipulate the boss the random number generator for the RNG for the boss. Say, okay, it's phase one. It's going to do this first, this second, this third. So you can actually practice that pattern over and over again. It's really kind of interesting. Seeing them kind of go, because they were working on this one room multiple times, and you know, it was like just jumping up using multiple boost jumps to get up, and it was like their ROM, they just like, they would get up and then it would just warp them right back down to the bottom, and they just do it again and just they do it again. And that's how they practice a lot of that stuff. It was really interesting to watch.
That's how you got to do it. Play the same section over and over till you get it. I mean, I think back to when I used to be good at Dance Dance Revolution. That's how I beat the harder songs, was practicing them at home, doing the one little section, especially on those note charts where it was just like a bunch of notes slammed together. You just would do the one piece over and over again until you get it. And it's a similar concept.
Yep. It's all connected like that, all the training modes and all that stuff. So what did I miss? Anything else I missed big in the gaming industry while I was kind of in a bubble with speedrunners?
Honestly, I don't think there was a ton that went on that was like major, major news. We have some stories, obviously, for the show tonight, but nothing that I would consider like, oh my God, this is changing the industry. You know, unfortunately, we still have news about layoffs, especially after large companies get very large investments, which is very annoying. We have the release of Donkey Kong Bananas. on the horizon, which is coming out very soon. And so we have news about the Nintendo Switch vouchers. Unfortunately, those are going to be going away. Some clarity on some of the Xbox closures. One area that was rumored to be closing is actually not. So it's literally the equivalent of, we're not dead yet, happening there. And big crackdown on piracy happening by the FBI. We're going to start off tonight talking about that. So,
all right.
But nothing major, major where it's like, oh my gosh, this is going to change gaming forever. But still some things that are worth talking about. So we'll get into it on OLR.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I promise I'm going to be back 2 weeks in a row. I'll even be better. You know, I'll have all my buttons set. Everything, the camera shouldn't freeze like it did tonight. It's going to be better. This was great, though. It was great seeing y'all again tonight. It's been great. I've missed y'all for the last week. But yes, I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Or you can come see us on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. We actually had a hype train. So thank you, Pod Culture, for resubscribing. That and that helped kick us off. I'm getting to the stuff here. Yes. Pod Culture resubscribe. Thank you so much. Dark Tetsuya resubscribe saying happy 54 months plus a 39 month streak. Thank you so much. Then we had a 200 bits from S. Jared Amat that says to save the animals. And whoop, I can agree with this second half. Sean322 cheered 200 bits and just said whoop, because I can actually do that one. And it gets the crowd. I get the call and response with the crowd. It's great. Rob Roberts cheered 100 bits saying hype train. And Sean322 cheered 200 bits for the level two. And so that gave us, we did have a hype train and people got emotes. It's great. So we did hit a level two hype train. Thank you so much for that. And then Dark Sakura just resubscribed. Thank you so much for the resubscription. I'm going to hit the button and get out of here and enjoy OLR. Hey, I'm fun employed now. I haven't played the Yakuza games. Maybe I'm going to like force myself to play the Yakuza games on stream. Because what else am I going to do? Work? Of course not. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.